in its decision overturning Roe v. Wade, as you heard earlier tonight, the United States Supreme Court majority wrote the following, quote, women are not without electrical, not allowed, not without electoral or political power.
They're cheering him.
No kidding. MAGA Republicans found out the power of women in 2022.
Okay, I can't even deal with this, guys. I need to say a prayer for myself. Lord God, please put a hand over my mouth because this is, I don't even know how I'm going to do the show today.
I'm praying. I want electrical power.
That's
what I want, electrical power.
Amen. So, explain something to me about women because they can't define them. We got electrical power, but he doesn't know if we got penises. I'm to understand that. Is that my understanding, right? That's what we all get? We all get out of that?
It's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I feel like that's a fair assessment. I mean, it's what he said. Angry Biden. Welcome to the show, guys. Dana Lash with you. The top of this Tuesday, first hour. Can listen all over. You can check out the simulcast, channel 347. Rumble's where the discussion happens. We're also on X, too. So I'm going to be honest with you. I ended up going to bed before he was finished talking. Because, you know, a girlfriend needed to get some Z's, all right? Like, I had to go catch some. I was not going to. They stuck this sundowner at the end of the night. And the left was like, but Dana, he's the keynote. No, you know what they did? Everyone ran long. And they stuck their sundowner at the very end of the night. It was 11 o'clock, y'all. It was 11 o'clock. And I'm up, like, watching this, you know, because we have to discuss it today. I'm up watching this, like, golly, what on earth? And I feel like the speech that he gave was the speech that he would have given on Thursday, you know? Like, that is the speech that he would have given on Thursday had he been the nominee, which he's not. And so he came out. And he was mad, and Jill seemed bitter, and it was weird. The whole thing was weird, right? Came from what you saw. It was weird. Like he came out, and I was trying to figure out how the words to use, but it felt weird, right? He felt bitter. He seemed ticked, and then Ashley came out. Ashley was out before Dad. But I don't know. Audio soundbite 3. This was supposed to. Well, actually, wait a minute. I don't even know what I want. I have so many that we have 11,000 audio soundbites for you today. And where do we want to? Maybe let's do 3. You want to? Yeah, let's do 3. Let's start with 3. Let's look at some of the joy.
It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more. I love my country more.
Is that what you merged it out?
And all this talk about how I'm angry at all those people said I should step down. That's not true.
He had to say that. He had to say that so they'll give him his insure. I don't know what kind of Frankenjuice they popped him up on when they shuffled him out there on that stage. First off, no one believes that at all whatsoever. That's number one. We don't believe. You're going to, the tell-alls that are going to come out later, you guys know it's going to be crazy. So nobody believes that, number one. Number two, he's like, I love my country. I love my dead gay son. I love my country. I love it. No, you loved merching off of your country to enrich in your family, which is why the House, you know, I mean, God love them. Most of the nation's not paying attention, but they're doing what they need to do. And they went through the inquiry process, and it was they went through the whole process, and it, you know, they found out that yes, he absolutely did. They were merching out the office. They were selling influence, and so they have evidence for impeachable offenses. Whether or not they go through with that, I don't know. I think they should. I mean, it's goofy if they don't. I think they absolutely should. I think they are they should be required to at this point. But, you know, anyway, I just the thing I cannot get over is the idea that, and I'm looking at all these, I have a million sound bites for you. This is supposed to be the convention of joy. And I don't understand what the hell that means. How many times have you heard them say that? Oh, we're bringing joy back. What the hell does that mean? How about lower prices back? How about you bring back lower prices? How about you bring back no inflation? How about you bring back jobs? How about you bring back border security? How about you bring back more, like greater stability worldwide? How about you bring back common sense economic policy? That was this joy. Like, what do you mean? Are we talking about this? Audio soundbite 6. This kind of joy? Is this what we're talking about? Joy, joy, joy?
More children in America are killed by a gunshot than any other cause in the United States. More die from a bullet than cancer, accidents, or anything else in the United States of America. My God. That's why Kamala and I are proud. We beat the NRA when we passed the first major bipartisan gun safety law in 30 years.
First off, that's not even true. And we've gone over this six ways to Sunday. I've published the receipts over at my Substack for people who like to read things and know about things, you know, generally before they discuss them. I posted all of this online. And it's all driven by drug and gang violence. The CDC goes all the way up to the age of 19 to define children. And the predominant ages of driving the gang and the drug violence are 18 to 19 year olds. When you remove those fatalities due to illegally possessed guns drop so dramatically that they fall into third, fourth place behind drug overdose, et cetera, opioid epidemic, automobile deaths, drownings. Literally that. But they have to inflate those numbers. And then also, it doesn't take into account suicide either, which is a whole other concern. So this idea, you know, I mean, he gets up there and he lies and he screams. Is that the joy that we're talking about? I mean, they're seriously, he just like, they screamed. They were so angry. What the hell in the world? I mean, they're so angry when they went out there. All of them. This is supposed to be the joy. What is joy? What is joy? And then audio soundbite 35, AOC goes out, and then she apparently has a new accent. This was weird. Watch this.
And Chicago, we have to help her win. Because we know that Donald Trump would sell this country for a dollar if it meant lining his own pockets and greasing the palms of his Wall Street friends. And I, for one, tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed.
What do you mean the woman who fights every single day? What is she talking about? What woman is out there fighting every single day? What are you talking about? What was she talking about? What? Then the woman who's fighting every single day. All the single ladies. I don't know what she's talking about. Is she talking about the bus that's out there? Like, hey, come on, ladies. You know, super hygienic, by the way. Come on and sit in the same chair that a bunch of other ladies sat in. Throw your feeties up in them stirrups. Let's go to abortion town. Gross. That's so nasty. Oh, ugh. I think dive bar bathrooms are probably cleaner. Do you know what I mean? Ugh, so bad. I have no idea what she's... That's so much joy. Doesn't that sound joyful? Oh, got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Sounded so joyful. I mean, just saying. I don't know. So they... I mean, we got a million sound bites from this. We're going to play them throughout the program. But safe to say that it wasn't a very joyful evening since joy was on the menu and we didn't get a lot of it. Biden was angry. I was looking at the transcript of his speech. He was very, very angry. And then you had all the protests that were outside. So you had the common commies versus the establishment commies, which I am endlessly fascinated by. And I've talked about this a million times before. I actually wrote about this in my third book, Grace Canceled, about the common commies and the establishment. It was kind of, you know, it was in one of the chapters that I had about reconciliation, etc. But it was fascinating because they get out in the streets. They go out in the streets. There's tons of video. And I, you know, I was asking people, who y'all got, the common commies or the establishment commies? Because what gets me is that the common commies think that they're actually valued by the establishment elites inside. The establishment limousine commies, they think that they actually matter. The common commies think that they matter to the establishment in the inside. But they don't. The establishment commies don't give a rat's backside about the common commies, the proletariat. They don't care about you, you plebs. They don't care. They only think that the common commies are useful as a get out the vote mechanism. That's the only time that they find any kind of value or any sort of use for these people. They are a get out the vote mechanism. And what really gets me is they act like they're such rebels. They are hard asses. They're out there in their black true religion jeans and their black brand new Converse that have super clear white soles and their iPhones, the latest editions. They're out there with their brand new purchase picnic blankets that they wear over their faces as masks. They're out there with their kitted out black riot gear, and they think that they are actually, we're going to tell that establishment. They're not going to tell, they're not going to listen to you, but they think they matter. And yet, even after they're treated this way, as they were treated in 2016, they obediently show up and they lick the boot of the establishment every damn election. That's real beta energy. They act so tough in the streets. But they will obediently file out, and they're going to queue up at their polling place. Gone at that moment will be the summer of their rage, all of their rioting in the streets, their protests, all their signage, and they will lick the boot and vote obediently. Because that's what serfs do. That's the function that they play in the Democrat Party. They're not common commies, they're serfs. And the establishment doesn't care. They just disenfranchised all of those voters, just like they did in 2016. They disenfranchised them the same way. I wrote about this. If you get the newsletter over at Substack, I wrote about it. They did the same thing then. You know, it was supposed to be Hillary Clinton. She was supposed to be the nominee in 2016, but they finagled a Bernie Sanders win because they had the switcheroo in 2016. They had the Texas Democratic primary that was real weird. And then they had a combination of superdelegates. And they got that nomination from Bernie Sanders to Hillary Clinton. You know, the Bidens are reportedly leaving the convention before Harris gives her acceptance speech. And she doesn't speak till Thursday. He's just swept right off the stage. They said he had tears in his eyes. I don't feel bad for Joe Biden at all. Joe Biden deserves every bit of that bus that he got thrown under. This is the only coffee that I will drink. Everything else tastes like sadness and disappointment. It's just awful. Everything else makes your life miserable. Black Rifle Coffee, though, it's affordable and it's the best coffee you're going to get. Veteran owned. They hire veterans and active duty, and they support veteran and first responder causes like equipment and health issues, all of that. Now, here's the cool thing. They got ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups ready to drink. The best way to get it, though, is with the coffee club. So you pick out what roast you want, how often you would like to receive it, and it shows up with free shipping, refay ipping shay, on your porch, and you never have to worry about running out of coffee, which is a horrible thing to realize that you've done in the morning. And you can get 20% off of products using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. And you'll also find on the website apparel and kettles and grinders, mugs and more, everything you need for the perfect brew. So see it for yourself today, blackriflecoffee.com. Sign up for that coffee club and order some coffee today. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, let's see here. George Santos pled guilty to all fraud charges, according to NBC News. This was This is a weird case. He's like a less... He's not... it's crazy because he's got a super conservative voting record, but he was sort of the Democrats' revenge for Gold Bar Bob. So... Really interesting. He was expelled. Excuse me, I got something in my throat. Expelled from Congress on December 1st. And he's facing this 23 counts in New York court. Moving on. People are using... They're using ChatGPT. Excuse me, it's allergies, Texas. To break up. So they get ChatGPT to dump people... for them, which sounds really ignorant and horrible, and yeah. So they said that they are using ChatGPT to break up because they don't have the courage to dump someone for them and they can't find the right words. So they just copy and paste. A mayoral candidate vows to let an AI bot run Wyoming's capital. That's kind of weird. He's a librarian who's obsessed with AI, this mayoral candidate. And he says that AI, you know, doesn't make... It can read tons of municipal minutiae. Real quick, understand it. It would be good for democracy. I think that's how Skynet got started. That's really how that happened. Elon Musk said he would serve. Trump said he would offer the Tesla CEO a cabinet slot, but he also might end the EV tax credit because it's a $7,500 credit for certain new EVs. And so, and obviously, Tesla sells EVs. I think we need to make government smaller, not bigger. I mean, I like what Musk is doing, but I just think that that's like antithetical to like wanting to reduce the size and scope and control of government. We have a lot more on the way, including communism. We're going to talk about that coming up. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know for at least a few weeks, there was some speculation that maybe it would be a Harris-Whitmer ticket that did not come to pass, much to some people's chagrin, but there is a lot of enthusiasm for your fellow Midwestern governor, Tim Walz, and I wonder, you know, whether you could talk a little bit about the guy that you know as a fellow governor.
Oh, yeah, I love Tim Walz. So, Tim, my daughters were saying to me, you know, he's like a male version of you, Mom. And I thought that was
funny. Yeah, because you're both
Democrats. I can see it.
My gosh. Like, I'm just... she so badly wants to tie her train car to him. No, why would you do that? He's like the male version of me, you know, because he has a penis. Wow, can they define that? I don't know. Welcome back to the program. That was Big Gretch, who was on, what is it, MSNBC, CNN, one of them. Yeah, Big Gretch. And saying, I don't know, they're trying to... Tim Walz just looks like he's... Let me put it like this. This is who Tim Walz reminds me of. He's the guy who on a Friday night, you're just going out with some of your friends, you know, some couple friends of yours. You're going to have, you know, the kids you got the babysitter for the kids. Going to go to Applebee's and have some fajitas. Okay. You're going to go to Applebee's just to, you know, nice evening with your couple friends while the kids, you know, you got a sitter for the kids. You don't get a lot of time out with the kids and you're going with a couple friends to Applebee's to have some like fajitas or something, you know, get you some cocktails. And Tim Walz is the guy in the neighborhood that y'all know, who's already loud anyway. And he's already at the bar, like three sheets to the wind. Loud and braggadocious and just that guy, right? And you don't want to say hi to him because he may come over to your table and then not shut up and then become personally offended when he is too stupid to pick up on the cues that you need him to leave now because you would like to order your fajitas because you're out, you know, you're having an adult night out, not with him. He's like that guy, right? Everybody knows that. I've had that experience before. Everybody knows that. Have you ever had an experience like that, Kane? That's who Tim Walz reminds me of. He reminds me of that guy. Like that guy, you know? And they come and they're like, hi! And they breathe liquor all in your face. That guy. Like, no boundaries. That guy. That's Tim Walz. He's trying way too hard, also. Doritos. And then he did this. Audio soundbite 25. Tim Walz was, again, trying to sell people on joy, guys. Trying to sell them on joy. Very much wanted people that, I guess they wanted them to think like they're the happy people. He tweeted, quote, this is what he tweeted yesterday. Or no, 2 days ago. Remember the time when you could go to Thanksgiving with your relatives and not complain about politics the whole time? This election is a chance to bring up the joy. This is him. Listen.
Some of us who have less hair and are old enough can remember when you could go to Thanksgiving, watch a Steelers game with your relatives, and not complain about politics the whole time. Not be on each other's neck. Because you shared a commitment to democracy, a commitment to personal freedom, a commitment to public education, a commitment to infrastructure. We don't call each other names. We don't do it. And we don't use the least fortunate amongst us as punchlines for our jokes because they're our neighbors. They're
you know what's
neighbors.
So crazy and about so, this? You're getting is that, and I tweeted about this, Tim Walz, is, you know, the Minnesota dad, he's literally the guy, literally outlawed Thanksgiving with your relatives. And he established a snitch line to tell on your neighbors if they got together with theirs. Yeah, quote, there's numerous articles. This one is the local press there. Governor Tim Walz has confirmed a pause that will lead to the closure of dine-in service at bars, restaurants, temporary shutdowns of gyms and fitness centers, weddings and private parties, postponement of organized sports. The measures announced Wednesday evening also involve prohibition of in-person gatherings with people outside of your household coming just a week before Thanksgiving. Huh. What? Here's more. Twin Cities Pioneer Press. His executive order on it banned any indoor gatherings that included people not of your immediate family who live there. Huh. I mean, the PDF is on this thing called the internet, and people can go and read it. So what is he talking about? I mean, he's like, remember the time? No, a lot of people had that taken from them. I'm going to tell you what, this is what pisses me off. I was talking to a friend about this. Let me tell you something. Why we have an unprocessed rage from lockdown. We never got a debrief on this. This is the first election that we have had since our entire first presidential election we have had since our entire nation was locked down. Kids didn't go to school. My oldest son started his college life in a college that they had lockdown. And for a number of weeks, and then after his roommate left, for a number of weeks, he was literally, as so many other students his age were, locked down in their rooms for weeks on end. Many of them just by themselves. You had to go pick up your lunch and eat in your room. You couldn't eat in the cafeteria. And then if you were lucky enough to have a class that would actually hold it in person, and it usually was like a lab or something, you had to sit so far apart, you couldn't talk to anyone. It was forced prison. It wasn't even isolation. Isolation's kinder. It was forced prison. And our young adults spent months living like this. I had friends that had to watch their parents die alone behind glass because they couldn't be at their bedside. People lost their jobs. They lost their lives. So don't sit here and give me this. Do you remember when you could shut the hell up? I am so tired of this. You communist rat bastards locked this nation down. You almost bankrupted us. You locked up our kids. You know what? You screwed up a good portion of our younger generation because you made them isolate for 2 years. You know how messed up it is to have little kids go into Zoom classes on their computer, like a boardroom Zoom class? This isn't an outpost on Mars. It's the United States of America. You know how messed up it is to tell people they got to get an experimental shot if they want to be able to earn a check or get in a cab or go into a restaurant, Mr. Oh, well, we don't need ID to vote, but you got to have an ID to go eat at a restaurant in a number of these Marxist blue states like his. Remember when you could sit around and talk with your family at Thanksgiving and not talk about politics? How can you not talk about politics? Politics were what prevented them from gathering together in the first place. And you're trying to make this about joy? Sorry, not all of us have a lot of joy. We're going to bring joy back. How about you bring damn jobs back? Regular priced items that aren't subject to inflation. That might be nice. My gosh, this election should be about the biggest damn reckoning since the revolution, and it's not. And I'm gutted over it. I'm actually appalled at many on my own side because you want to know who has the right to be out in the street raging? We do. For locking down our kids, we ought to be out in the streets with rage. For shutting down our businesses, we ought to be out in the streets with rage. All you Antifa pansies can sit down on your non-existent flat asses. We ought to be the ones out there in the streets. You don't even know what a revolution looks like until you tick off the people that don't want to be bothered. And then by God, Katie, bar the door, you ain't never coming back. This is what enrages me. I am gutted that we're talking about joy and all this other stupid, petty nonsense. Our kids lost several years of their lives at the most formative ages possible. Do you know what it's like for a 19-year-old to have to be locked into a dorm room for weeks? Do you know what it's like for young adults? One of my kids' friends was going to go into be a veterinarian. Couldn't do any of their classes. Ended up dropping out and didn't go and become a veterinarian. Another parent I know, whose kid graduated with my oldest, was going to go be a doctor. We need more of those, right? Lockdown happened. Couldn't keep up with the requirements for the coursework because it was so insane, because they couldn't even go to some of the classes that weren't even being held because they couldn't do things in person and everything. Couldn't do anything. So dropped out. Dropped out of school. I mean, that's the reality. And then we're just supposed to pick up and, okay, let's just go back to normal. No. There is no normal anymore. We have a communist who is running as a Democrat for the White House. That party, I don't know if you watched this last night. I mean, I got audio from Jasmine Crockett and all this other stuff to make fun of. I think they kind of wanted to make it look like a freak show to mask the fact that they are straight up talking communism. Price controls? Really? Seizing patents. Seizing your private property. You put in the time, you put in the effort, you put in the money to file. It's your IP, your blood, sweat, and tears, and they're going to just come and take it from you? Because, and she says she's got the political will to do so. They have the audacity to propose this after we already got a taste of what communism was here in the United States. That was lockdown. That's exactly what Democrats are promising again, but they want to call it different policies now. That's exactly what they're promising you again, except this time you'll be locked down because you're going to be too damn broke to go anywhere. You're going to have to spend your whole year's salary to buy an EV. Oh, they're going to give you a few $1,000 to subsidize it. They're going to lower the criteria for getting a home loan to buy a house. And they're going to give you an extra $25,000. And then even though you wouldn't be able to afford the house in the first place, you're going to buy it because you think you can. And then you're not going to, it's going to be Fannie and Freddie all over again. This election ought to be, like I said, the greatest reckoning since the revolution. And that it isn't, I think, is a stunning epitaph of part of the American spirit. That it isn't just an indictment of the left. I mean, I'm amazed at this. And we're going to talk about these policies. I mean, they were talking about DEI. They were talking about, you know, subsidizing everything when they weren't screaming about Trump, you know, calling it about, you know, talking about joy. And you got this guy. He actually, again, this guy outlawed this and he's out there trying to sell people on joy. I get mad about it when I think of it because they altered the psyche of the nation. It was a great way to condition you to accept bigger government, wasn't it? A great way. How many of the people that were protesting against lockdown are eagerly going to go and vote for the people who pushed it forth the hardest? Just saying. We have more on the way because the Bidens, where are they going to go now? Hey, dudes, listen up. I have a gift idea that could truly impress the lady in your life and transform your home into a much needed sanctuary, all with the luxurious comfort of Cozy Earth. It's called Cozy Earth. She'll be impressed. And Cozy Earth uses only the finest fabrics and textiles, making their products super soft and comfortable. So, for example, you could give the gift of comfort and support with Cozy Earth's durable weave bedsheet fabric that keeps your bedsheet smooth and luxurious for years. And you can say goodbye to pilling also. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are super comfortable. It's a long-lasting investment. And ladies, you don't have to wait for somebody to get this for you. You can create your own comfort and sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose. It's very luxurious. So we just got our sheets. That's their California king size. And they had our color, which was Harbor Mist. That's the one I picked out. So I love the selection. I love how easy it is to navigate their website and find what you want. So if you want to make every bedroom a sanctuary, do it with Cozy Earth. Breathable, ultra soft, and even softer with every wash. Try them risk-free today for 100 nights and love them or get a full refund. And that's one of the best money-back guarantees in the business. So your bed's calling and answer with the ultimate in comfort and get up to 40% off only at cozyearth.com/Dana using code Dana. And don't forget, tell them I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get some free socks. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It is a gender-neutral Islamic prayer room that's, you know, shockingly empty at the DNC. I'm pretty sure that they don't do that.
Doesn't Islam love the LGBTQ2AAIA community?
You mean, yeah, that's why there's death penalties for, you know, I mean, it's so goofy.
Oh.
For some of the alphabet that you mentioned there.
Yeah.
Why do they have a gender neutral? It's all performative. That's so performative. They do these things like, look what we have here. Even if they don't use them, they just do it
so
because it's performative.
For anybody.
I mean, how do they check? Do you have to be gender neutral to get in there?
Why can't you just say this is a prayer room for everybody?
Oh,
instead
because,
of just say gender neutral.
Because they don't want unity. And so they hide the fact that they don't want unity by acting like they're over-serving each particular demo to the point where they're separate. And that, you know, it looks like they're trying to do a good deed, but really they're not. The whole point is to keep everyone divided. And they get past this by hiding behind a veneer of looking like they're over-serving each subset. That's what it is. And they do that as a way to prevent unity. Heaven forbid you have people unified. Heaven forbid you have people all praying in the same room together. You know, oh my gosh, no, I'm going to have gender neutral. Do they have like a gender neutral like for everybody? I'm just curious.
That's what it means, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just so stupid. I don't know. They put up another layer of fencing outside. This is Audio Soundbite 30. They have a double layer of fencing now.
It's a triple now.
It's triple?
It's a three layer.
Oh, so this is when it was just double. That's right. They did put up a new one. Let me look. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here's the Associated Press. They add a third layer of fencing. Huh. A third. But wait a minute. I thought that walls and fences didn't work.
They barely do here.
And that they were racist. Did you? I mean, I've been to RNCs before, and you have to have your ID to get in. Do you have to have your ID to get into the DNC, or is it like take all comers? You know, like the border. Or voting.
They're not inclusive.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't even know why they would care, because it's not like they're going to listen to what their delegates say anyway. You know, I mean, Tim Walz, doesn't he speak tonight? He speaks tonight, I think. And you got Kamala speaking Thursday, if memory serves. So, I don't know. I'm just saying. Well, they're going to, you know, anything can, they're, I was the whole, what word am I looking for? I don't want to say vibe because I hate that word. The feeling that was coming through the television whenever they would show the Bidens. And it was like the people on the floor were happy that they wanted, they felt like they could be happy and nice towards him because he was doing what they want and leaving. But there was like a camera shot of Nancy Pelosi when the delegates were screaming, "We love Joe, we love Joe." And she was just sort of sitting there with her mouth pursed together. It was weird to watch that. She seemed really mad. And apparently the word is that Jill Biden feels betrayed. I don't feel bad for any of these people. How many people did you guys betray? I don't feel bad for you people. You can't grift in elected office anymore. Meh, cry me a million tears. Nobody cares. Well, we do care, because you were selling influence off to enrich your family. Don't feel bad for him. We're going to talk more about that. Plus, Andy Beshear, why is he talking about J.D. Vance's family getting raped? Let's talk about that coming up. Stick with us. Just saying. We have more on the way. Because the Bidens, where are they going to go now? We got that. We got more joy. Jasmine Crockett being crazy. Economy, jobs, we got a lot. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at ReadyWise, because if we don't win in November, you're going to want to make sure that you have survival food, because someone will either drop a nuke on us, or heaven forbid, there'll be some kind of natural disaster and no one will be able to deal with it because we'll have just an absolutely incompetent government. So who knows? Go ahead and get ready now. They make it easy. ReadyWise has premium survival food, all high quality U.S. ingredients packed and sent out from a state-of-the-art U.S.-based plant. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. And they have two offers for you. First, you can use promo code DANA20 at checkout to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. They also have a buy one, get one 72-hour food kit, $100 in value for $50. Two boxes with 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get all your three hots plus drinks and snacks, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. Visit ReadyWise.com. And use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20 for 20% off today.
What you said this morning on Morning Joe.
Okay.
I'm going to just prepare you for this. Saying that let me take a look at what he said about you.
J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
So what he's saying is that you were somehow suggesting, he said, what the hell is this? Why is Andy Beshear, he tweeted this out, wishing that a member of my family would get raped? What a disgusting person. So how do you respond to that? I mean,
well,
is that what you were talking about?
Of course not. It's ridiculous, but it's also deflection. I mean, J.D. Vance knows that he and Donald Trump are so wrong on this issue, and so he's trying to make himself the victim. Listen, Hadley Duvall.
What do you mean?
Was a victim.
They're so wrong on what issue?
The women that were on the stage last night, the couple that had to.
What issue is he talking about? Because one of the things that Trump has said, I mean, for this is very inconvenient for Democrats like Kentucky Governor Beshear. One of the things that they've said is, and this is consistent with what the state law is around the nation, it's already codified into statute after statute. It's already the exceptions for, what is it, rape, incest, life of the mother, all of that stuff. That's already in every, it's already incorporated into every single state's legal regulation of it. What is disallowed is for it to be used as it has been, and that's according to Planned Parenthood's own publicly available statistics, as a form of birth control. And Democrats wanted it to be subsidized by the taxpayer, and they wanted it all the way up until the moment of birth. And that's not hyperbole. That is verbatim what was in the so-called Women's Protection Act that the Senate, every single Democrat in the Senate, co-signed. They co-sponsored it. And that was in 2021. It was why it was such a huge part of that runoff election in Georgia, or the special election in Georgia and the runoff and all that. I mean, it was, that's exactly what they wanted. And so all of this stems from that debate. And for Andy Beshear, I don't know what he says that Vance is wrong on, or Trump is wrong on here. It sounds like he is the one that is misrepresenting not only what their position is, but what each state law is, because he is counting on people working too damn hard to try to make ends meet thanks to his party's economic policies that have driven this record high inflation. He's counting on people to not be aware of this. He's the one who's misrepresenting this. And to say something like he ought to go through it, there's no deflection. That is exactly what Andy Beshear said. What else is there? We're not playing this game. You people freak out if someone so much as sneezes on the right. You actually had a sitting Democrat governor say, I wish my this opponent's family would go through rape. There is no other way to put this. It is a deflection and a distraction for him to try to shrug off the yoke of that consequence. And that's Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. Maybe there's a reason why he wasn't considered, because he's inarticulate. That's exactly what he said. Play that soundbite, Juan, if you could again. And while you get that ready, welcome back, by the way. We're at the top of our second hour. Dana Loesch here with you. Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, and X as well. Hear this again, because you tell me that he's saying something else here. Listen.
I mean, think about what some people have had to go through because of these laws. J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
So, see? That's not even actually what J.D. Vance even said, and he can defend his own to himself on that. That's not even what he said, but the idea, make him go through this. So are you saying he should get raped, or a member of his family should be raped? Because you're calling for someone to be raped. And if Andy Beshear's problem is his presupposition that Vance's choice of word, let's just roll with it as for the sake of an argument, if he's mad because Vance said inconvenient, then pray tell, would not the anger also extend to a sitting Democrat governor who likes to use rape as a jab against someone who is on the opposite side of him politically? Well, let him go through it. My first response is, do you mean let him get raped or allow a woman in his family to be raped? Can you clarify that, Governor? And if Andrea Mitchell wasn't so high as a kite off of her own partisan ideology, she would have done her due diligence as someone worth the mantle of being called a reporter, and she would have asked him that immediately. Well, Governor, wait, can I stop you there? What do you mean that you think that J.G. Vance should have to be himself raped to understand this, or a woman in his family should be raped to understand this? That is exactly what he said. They went after Todd Akin for less. They drove Todd Akin out of Congress for less than what Andy Beshear just said here. Where's the rage? You're now we're going to, well, I hope you get raped. Andy Beshear is the governor of Kentucky, and he is out there flippantly calling for the vice presidential candidate on the Republican side to be raped. Or maybe he's saying J.D. Vance's wife should be raped or a daughter should be raped. I don't know. He needs to clarify that for us, I think. All because Andy Beshear is misrepresenting what current law states about abortion. All because Andy Beshear is misrepresenting what the Republican ticket, agree with it or not, what they actually say about abortion. And using rape as the litmus, again, That is something that is already legally protected by law, state law. And it's something that the ticket, that's one of the reasons why pro-life groups got so mad at Trump. That's one of the reasons why they got so mad at him. Because he came out officially on the record stating that that should be an exception. So I don't care where you fall on the abortion. I don't really care. I don't care where you come on, at on it. I don't. This is stupid. And for Andy Beshear to say, well, you know, well, he should make him go through this. Go through what? What in the world? I've had the left come at me for less than this. Can you imagine if Trump would have said, I'll let them go through it, talking about rape? They got mad at him because he had a taco salad on Cinco de Mayo. But this is okay? There's no other way to put this. And Andy Beshear owes a... I mean, this is insane. There needs to be consequences for this. I mean, that's exactly what he said. Using rape as a weapon so he can diminish it and we'll make him go through this. And I got to tell you, I'm really tired of Marxist beta males like Andy Beshear who talk and preen and cosplay about being feminist and all this other stupid garbage. But they are the first to grab the mic out of a woman's hands and try to lecture everybody about quote unquote women's health. I don't need Andy Beshear acting like he's some sort of white knight for women. I mean, politically, you're the only kind of white knight that history knows, but that's a whole other topic. I'm just so tired of this. I mean, and he, you know, and also how sexist this is he is part of this machination with the left to keep the focus on this stuff for women. Women, oh, we're not going to message to them about jobs. Women, we're not going to message to them about foreign policy. Women, we're not going to message to them about the economy. Instead, all we're going to do is talk to them about abortion. Abortion, 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 abortion. Inflatable IUDs, because we're going to infantilize women and give them inflatables. Look at you, huh? That's exactly, they treat women like morons. I find that so unbelievably offensive. If I'd seen that on the Republican side of things, I would have taken a Leatherman and popped that damn thing. Could be kidding me. So goofy. But this honestly really ticks me off. This Beshear comment. To diminish this and then try to run away from the consequences of your own stupid mouth. That needs to be an ad. They should run that. He should experience it. How vile. How absolutely vile. I have nothing FCC friendly to say about Andy Beshear, and God has not bestowed me with enough middle fingers on my two hands as a way to salute him. Now, also, in all of this, we have Trump and Vance. They've been doing the barnstorming these swing states. And we've got her price control plan. The communism from Kamala Harris. I honestly think still that she may do herself in yet politically. And I say this because we still have two debates to go, right, Kane?
Yep.
We have two debates to go. And all of the polling from her, even though I think it's incredibly tight, it's very tight. Very close. I will say that all of the polling of her is before she decided to kind of, before she introduced her economic policy and also before her like word salad little press pop-ups that she's been doing and before the remarks that she's going to be giving at the DNC. There is still a lot of time here. She may yet still do herself in politically. Even the Washington Post and some other news publications were like, wait a minute, you're proposing actual price controls? I wanted to play this for you. Audio soundbite 40. Milton Friedman talked about price controls and wage controls. She's definitely not a Milton Friedman acolyte, that's for sure. Listen to this. This is some flashback audio. Very insightful.
The chances that we shall have price and wage controls are unfortunately not negligible. It is a device that governments have repeatedly resorted to try to cover up the effects of their own policies. It is offered as a cure for inflation. It is not a cure for inflation. It has never been a cure for inflation. It is an alleged cure that is far worse than the disease, because its effect is to repress the symptoms, to repress the consequences of the more basic force. I always say that if you want to analyze wage and price control, the simplest analogy that brings it home is to think of a kettle on your stove in which there's water and the water is boiling. It's got a cover on it, and the boiling water is threatening to throw the cover off. Now, obvious sensible thing to do is to turn down the heat under the kettle. Another thing you can do is to take a brick and put it on top of the kettle. And at the same time, turn up the heat. That is precisely what President Nixon did in 1971, when he simultaneously put a brick on top of the kettle by freezing prices and wages, and at the same time launched on a more expansive monetary and fiscal policy, which turned up the heat under the kettle. And what happened? The lid of the kettle blew up. You held it down for a little while, and then you had a 12%, 13% inflation. That has been the experience every time, not simply over the last 20, 30 years, but for 2,000 years. Emperor Diocletian tried the same thing in Rome 2,000 years ago, with identically the same results. So I have nothing but a negative opinion about wage and price control.
And that is definitely not Kamalanomics. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, the world's most dangerous roller coaster reaches 300 miles per hour before killing all the riders. This, thankfully, it's just an admired idea. This is insane. This is in the UK. It's called the Euthanasia Coaster. It was designed by a Lithuanian artist, and it promises a painful death. Some say this is a fake concept. Are they trying to, like, use this in place of the pods? That's insane. Yeah. Who cleans that up, too, by the way? Like, does anybody think this through?
Nope.
Good grief. SpaceX is about to send 4 people on a very risky mission into the radiation belts. It's actually kind of neat. I don't like going to a radiation belt. That sounds troubling, though. It is this article written by someone at CNN named Jackie Waddles, who can't write a balanced piece to save her ever-loving life and doesn't know how to actually put the lead up in the first graph. So I would fire her if I were her editor. Down in the 8th paragraph of the story, after you get through the entire bio of people and you're wondering, why in the hell am I reading this bio of these people? Oh, it's because these 4 people have been selected to go to the radiation belt of space. And then it doesn't even get into it. It's an unprecedented mission, first announced in 2022. It's called the Polaris Dawn. I had to go to a different website to actually get legitimate information about this. And they've been going through all this testing and development phases and that. And it's going to be privately executed and funded alongside of SpaceX. But there's been no price tag put on it because they haven't actually divulged that. But the radiation belts are where high energy particles come from. They come from the sun. They interact with the Earth's atmosphere. And then they create these, like, 2 dangerous bands of radiation, according to NASA. And there are about about 870 miles from Earth, and that's where they're going. So CNN, you need to learn how to literally write better articles for your website, for the love. And also, Eric Adams confused Pakistan and India's during an Independence Day event, and he had to apologize. Stick with us. Julio Rosas next. Folks who bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone services out there. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. In fact, they're going to save you a lot of money when you make the switch. And you can get free activation using code Dana. And see, with Patriot Mobile, you are supporting U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. And you're going to get the best service without funding the left. They have nationwide coverage in all three major networks. And when you switch to them, you're not putting money in the pockets of all the things, the issues and candidates that you vote against every time you're at the ballot box. Because Patriot Mobile makes sure that the momentum goes behind the things you support. Make sure you use code Dana for that free activation. And when you visit, again, you can get a free month when you use offer code Dana and free activation. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service with offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by pretenders who act like they share your values. They don't. And they act like they have the same coverage. They don't. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all can do better than that. Mike DeMonte!
150,000 people are dead! You are funding a genocide!
Oh boy.
This administration keeps on money to Israel!
It's a, I don't know, one of the common commies that got up on stage at one of the establishment commie events, and they started yelling. They got into, it was the welcome party that they had in Chicago, and they apparently like busted in the pro-Hamas side. And they, what'd you say, Kane? There was like three layers of fencing now?
Now there's three.
Now there's three. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. We are at the bottom of the second hour. The person who's been getting a lot of this video, as he must really, really love his job to just go in the middle of all of these like crazy people. Julio Rosas, who is a national correspondent for The Blaze. He's also the author of Fiery But Mostly Peaceful, The 2020 Riots and Gaslighting of America. Everybody remembers that. So, and also he served his country as a Marine. Julio Rosas joins us now via Skype. Julio, it's so good to see you. So first off, let me you're up there at the DNC in Chicago. They maybe I'm just misinterpreting all that rage that I've been seeing in a lot of the videos that you've posted as maybe that's supposed to be joy. I don't know what joy looks like anymore. We can't even define what women are. What's the mood like there?
Well, things are calm now, but obviously yesterday the main protest, they wanted to make an impact. They wanted to try their best to disrupt the DNC, and so initially, I believed they wouldn't have been able to breach the fencing, because even though it's a temporary security fence, it is pretty durable. But the issue is that if you give people enough time and they have the motivation to try to get around it, they're gonna get through it, and that's what happened. And it was a hectic couple of minutes, because there was a second fence that was very, very flimsy, very, very flimsy. And actually, it almost came down at a couple of points, but police had to break out the pepper spray. They didn't use it, but they had these giant bottles of it, and that got people to back off a little bit. But now, you know, things are calm. Things are fine outside, generally speaking. But there are more protests planned later today. But they're expecting bigger crowds for Wednesday and Thursday, for when Tim Walz and Kamala Harris give their speeches, respectively, for those days.
So that's when everything is expected to really kick up. I'm curious, and I mean this genuinely, because I would think that people would be in the streets for how the DNC decided to consolidate around a candidate that was different from the candidate that everybody voted for in the primaries and caucuses all across the country. You know, they ended up going with Kamala Harris, who didn't even go for a primary election. I mean, she wasn't even on the ballot anywhere in the state. But I don't, and just maybe I've missed it, but I don't see any protest about that specifically yet. Am I just, have I overlooked it, or does it seem to be all like Hamas stuff and then just like the Antifa folks?
Yeah, they don't really care about that. And it's also because they actually, funny that you say that. The first day, Sunday, there was a speaker who said that the Palestinian Hamas crowd, because of their protesting in the streets for the past 10 months and their pressure on the Democratic Party, they're the reason why Biden is no longer at the top of the ticket, as opposed to him not actually being a coherent and functional person. And that was showcased in the debate. You know, that's not the reason. It's actually because of them. And so that's why they say that's why we need to keep doing what we're doing, because what we've been doing has worked in their eyes. And obviously that's probably not the case at all. But that's how they viewed their movement so far.
That is fascinating. We're talking with Julio Rosas, who's been there getting all of this live footage and staying safe, thankfully, while he's doing it. I had to note your header on your X page was you looking backwards at this like blaze that's happening behind you. So far, there hasn't been any kind of destruction like that there. But it is interesting to see so many police out in force for the party that, I mean, by and large, maybe it wasn't officially a part of their platform, but their candidates individually officially made it part of theirs to defund all of these people who are out there in the streets protecting them now. And that irony doesn't seem to be setting on any of the people who are protesting right now.
No, but again, from the people that are out in the streets, you have to realize that they are on the furthest left of the coalition.
Would you describe them as like voting Democrats, the people who are out there?
Well, so before, when Biden was at the top of the ticket, that was like not going to happen. So they have a more a slightly better optimistic approach when it comes to being willing to open for Harris.
Interesting.
Generally, it's still a no, but they still say, well, since you weren't number one, you were number two, you can do better than Biden on this issue, and then we'll probably vote for you. But at the same time, a lot of the people that are out there, I mean, yeah, it's the Antifa types. It's people that are straight up communists, and I'm not saying that as like a joke. Like, these people, you know, wear the red.
They're the true believers.
Like, yeah, they're like the actual communists. And so they hate the two-party system as it is. So it is just an excuse for them to, you know, as they often do, they latch on to something so that they can try to get their cause of, you know, just replacing the entire two-party system, and so that they can use that as a vehicle for their goals.
That's why these protests have always fascinated me, and why I really enjoy, like, why, I mean, I don't enjoy watching like the violence and chaos of like riots, but I do enjoy watching like the people in your videos. You know, I think you do a pretty good job of showcasing the different the different slices of the left that come out, because like you said, you have the true believers, and then you have, you know, just the people who, for them, it seems like the Hamas stuff is their only issue. And then you have like the people whose abortion is their only issue. And maybe they're trying to influence on that. But it also seems like you just have people who just want to watch the world burn. And they're on the left, by and large. And those are the people you're talking about that just, they just don't like it. They just want to watch the world burn. And it's like they get out there and seem to rile everybody else up. And then everyone else, it just seems, you know, that's kind of like the history of, you know, these groups. They just get out there and then it gets violent. Are they anticipating? For it sounds like they are, when Walz and Harris get up there Wednesday and Thursday, that this could get violent.
Yes. So it depends how the Chicago police approach this. So as of this morning, they have added additional layers of security. Like you said, like you mentioned, not only have they added the number of fences, but they've made it higher. They literally pulled the trump and made it 10 feet higher.
Oh, wow.
To try to prevent people from scaling it. But again, if the Chicago police don't get in between the crowd and the fence, and they let protesters again have the ability to get to the fence and stay there,
they'll
probably find a way to get around it. But now it's going to be more dangerous, because if that falls, it's no longer 8 feet, it's, you know, 15 feet, and that's heavy metal, right? It did fall pretty hard yesterday in certain areas. So, you know, it just we don't know. I mean, this could go either way. It could be peaceful, right? It could go that way, or if things aren't handled properly with the city, if things can devolve further, especially in the coming days. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah,
we got to be here to see what happens.
We're talking with Julio Rosas, who's also the author of he has the book "Fiery But Mostly Peaceful" that he came out with. Gets into all this stuff from 2020. Julio, what do the delegates, like the Democrat delegates and the Democrat party machine, the people who are going in the convention, who are there every single day, do they care about what's happening on the, are they just like ignoring all of that on the outside?
They're trying to ignore it. Their whole thing right now is to try to put a face to the public and say, see, we're all unified. There's no dissent. We're joyful. The other side's weird. Right. And by the way, I'm staying at a hotel in downtown Chicago where the delegates are, and in the lobby. It's pretty weird with all the other people around. All right. Let's just I'm sorry. You cannot. That's just a clear case of projection. But anyway, so they're not really talking about it. They're not really talking about it. They don't seem to be too worried about it. Obviously, there is, right, you know, kind of concern just overall. There is, even in the hotels, there's a large police presence in general. When I came back from yesterday's protest, there was a large contingent of Illinois State Police in riot gear that were ready to deploy, but because Chicago police got everything under control, they weren't needed, but they went back into the hotel. So it's even funny that, yeah, even not just at the convention, but the hotels themselves, they are being protected by this force that they weren't too popular with four years ago.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I'm glad that you're staying safe and you're getting some really, you always do get really good footage. This last question for you, because you mentioned the disunity, and I know that there's always protests at RNC stuff, but it's always like the left that protests. You never see the right protest really its own side. I don't see from just like watching, and I'm looking at another one of your clips on my monitor here. The people that I'm watching that are showing up to this, I don't know if those are the people that the people in the convention actually can get to unify with them. And they used to love like the hard left as like their get out the vote mechanism, a substitute for enthusiasm. They could at least get people mad, and then anger maybe could be misattributed as enthusiasm, and that would drive people to the polls. I don't think that they can use these folks outside anymore. So can they at least maybe kind of bring them to the fold enough to cast a vote? I mean, are they even hopeful on that from what you've been able to read?
I mean, again, I don't think so, because we're not talking about, as opposed to 2020, where it was BLM and George Floyd, right?
Right.
To this side, it's a quote unquote genocide, right?
Oh,
so it's
yeah,
it's 100 times worse. And, you know, they say we're using our tax dollars, like we're supporting it. So it's really hard it would be a really hard case for people on the lesser crazy side of the Democratic Party to kind of bring that up. Bring them over, because they don't want to come over. I mean, that's the whole reason why they're here. That's mm-hmm. the whole reason why they say, yes, we understand Trump. Yes, he's a threat, but he's not in power right now. Our side is, or our quote unquote side is, and they're not listening to us. So we're going to make your life as miserable as possible until you bend to our demands.
It's just a very, this is one of the most quasi dystopian things I think I've seen this many protesters outside of a DNC. And it's the left that's protesting the left. And it's like the common commies versus the establishment commies. It's the craziest thing ever. I'm going to be fascinated to see what else you get as this unfolds all throughout the week and things heat up going into Wednesday and Thursday. Julio Rosas, you can find him on X as well. And make sure you all get his book if you haven't already. It's on Amazon, Fiery But Mostly Peaceful, in his Substack, Julio Rosas as well. Julio, as always, be safe, my friend. Appreciate your hard work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, I've heard a lot of things, but this is a new one for me. A Florida man was jailed for impersonating a Miami Springs pizzeria and delivering disgusting pies. Customer complaints convinced owner of Real Roman's Pizzeria to call the cops. This 55-year-old Florida dude is facing a felony charge. It was a bizarre impersonation scheme that left pizza customers getting a raw deal, said authorities. Police said that the guy ran an elaborate scheme to defraud tourists staying in the hotels of Miami Springs by pretending to be a well-known local pizza parlor. According to police, customers who thought that they were ordering pies from Roman's Pizzeria were instead getting subpar slices from Jose Marty Alvarez. Marty Alvarez was distributing fake pizza flyers to hotel rooms, advertising Roman Pizzeria and misleading visitors. Now, Jesus Roman, who's the proprietor of the actual pizzeria, he's been doing this for 40 years. He said that Marty Alvarez's pizzas were bad, uncooked, and sometimes they were sent in a box with a piece of raw dough. He said they just give them to him, and by the time that they realize that they've gone away. The fraud has been going on for several years, and it's caused significant hardship for the actual Real Roman's Pizzeria, including complaints to the Better Business Bureau and negative reviews and upset customers. It was actually tanking their business. And sometimes people would show up to the actual restaurant and demand their food. They said, "Where's our food?" And they have to go, "That's not us. That is literally not us. You've been, you know, defrauded." And so after the Real Roman went to the police, they finally arrested this Alvarez guy on a charge of organized scheme to defraud, and they booked him into jail. And he's facing aggravated battery charge after he fled from hotel staff in his vehicle and hit a staff member. He is supposed to stay away from these hotels, in the restaurant and all of that. And this is crazy. So they gave him $5,000 bond. This is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. So he actually went through, like, making pizzas. They just weren't good, sometimes undercooked.
And apparently it's a moneymaker.
This is a but this went on for years? How did it take that 3 years? How did it take 3 years for them to catch this guy? This is, okay, will you mark this as one of the craziest Florida man stories? Yeah. So when we do our year end, yeah. Because this is nuts. I've never heard of a story like this in my whole life. Can you imagine? He's like making these pizzas. He's making them somewhere, I guess, in his house. The article doesn't say. This is fascinating to me. Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. What? Let's see. A sibling fight, a ravioli attack. Oh, boy. Okay, so a 21-year-old Florida woman was mad that her sister would not share food that she brought home. Got mad because the victim didn't share, so the sister attacked her. Police were called. Nakia Davis was mad at her sister because the victim did not allow the defendant to have any of her ravioli. And the miffed sister, say police, retaliated by throwing a plate of ravioli at her sibling. And when police arrived at the Clearwater property, the victim still had sauce from the ravioli on her. And then, I cannot believe this is an actual story. And this chick is in the mugshot like, yeah, I did it. What? She just, so they got her, they arrested her. She can't have contact with her sister. She's got a restraining order against her, all this. This is so wild. Like that, I mean, okay. And then a guy got kicked out of a Florida strip club. And he does look like Post Malone, kind of. Decided then to drive this said truck in front, like into the club. I'll save this one for you tomorrow because there's more to this than I have in the 5 seconds left in this hour. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
You know what?
Have you talked to him?
Is my only question. What I have to do.
Right.
He made the decision for the country. My concern was not about the president. It was about his campaign.
Sure. It wasn't about the president at all. No, I completely agree that she didn't care. Nor did they care really about the voters, if you're being honest about it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of this third hour already. And I think we're at the top of this third hour already. And like I said, it's good to be with you. You can find us on Channel 347, on DirecTV, X, Rumble, where the discussion takes place. Find us on YouTube and Substack. Make sure you go and subscribe over there as well. So I thought this was... I was fascinated with this because what Nancy Pelosi was saying was kind of echoed by Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy was tweeting last night, Joe Biden has been an extraordinary president. And he was going on and on. And I said, well, if he's so great, why did you guys swap him out for Kamala? I'm just, you know, I'm very curious. Why did you guys feel like you needed to swap him out and bring in a new candidate? I mean, they didn't even erase Biden's second term and second term from all of their, as we said yesterday, from all of their materials for their new published platform. They didn't even, I mean, it's just so sloppy. He went on last night. Oh my gosh. He went on until at the very end of the, and I know because he's keynote, but you understand that it ran like hours late. They were hours late, the DNC. So they shoved him both under the bus and then at the very end of the first day's program when most people were trying to go to bed. It was 11 o'clock. I was trying to go to bed. And I couldn't go to bed yet because he just would not shut up. He kept talking. And I mean, they really, it was a great orchestration of how much they don't like that guy. And to think about it, they like Kamala even less. They like him, they like her even less. Audio Sunday 34, Jill Biden said that, well, these were her remarks. She seemed mad yesterday too. Listen.
And weeks ago, when I saw him dig deep into his soul and decide to no longer seek re-election and endorse Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said it was like he was giving his own eulogy when he was speaking. Politically, he was. I feel like still it was the speech that he would have given on Thursday. And then it just was weird. It was a very weird him going out. And admittedly, I didn't see the end of his remarks because I was like, I can't do this. I've got to get up. I'm tired. I've got a radio show I got to do in the morning. I can't stay up this late. It was wild. I have to also put in this. This was two sound bites. First, Biden has endorsed Kamala Harris's Marxist price controls. Audio soundbite 7. Listen.
And Kamala and Tim will continue to take on corporate greed and bring down cost of food.
He thinks the cost of food is due to corporate greed and not inflation. That's what he just said, which is your signal that it's only going to get worse because price controls will increase scarcity. That has never not been the case. That's how this works. And he endorses this whole scheme. So there is no more Democrat Party. That is straight up Marxist right there. I mean, this idea of, this is just wild. I can't imagine how this is going to sound if she expands on this on Thursday. Tim Walz is expected to speak tomorrow night. Kamala Harris speaks on Thursday. We already have really, really close margins in all of the swing states. You've got Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, and Pennsylvania that are all, you know, these are all going to be highly, highly battled for. I mean, then the headlines haven't been kind to her policy on this. This is going to be wild. She was asked by a member of the press, well, how are you going to pay for these two proposals? And she really didn't have any answers for this. She kept saying return on investment, but when she talks about it, it doesn't make sense because it's all like gobbledygook word salad and none of it makes sense. I don't know. Any kind of debate between her and Trump would, that would be like throwing a fish in a wood chipper. I just don't even have any. Oh my gosh, this is bad. She still could ultimately tank herself. But the media, as you know, is all in. They are all in for her. I was just the whole thing. Jasmine Crockett yesterday. So she gets up there. I felt like her and AOC were in a rally off. Like they were kind of competing a little bit. Audio soundbite 8, though. She tried to make this make sense, and it doesn't. Listen.
As women are dying, he is bragging about overturning Roe.
What? Who's
dying? And y'all know I come from Texas. And right now in Texas, come on, Texas. But right now in Texas, they want to institute the death penalty.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Why?
While Kamala Harris is fighting for our reproductive rights to be restored.
Wait, I'm a woman. I'm also in Texas. Don't be speaking for me, girl. What does this have to do with rights? I don't have any rights that are being denied. When she's talking about the death, like, is that a bad thing, Kane, to have capital punishment?
No, not at all. I think it's earned. Your capital punishment is earned. When you talk about abortion, there's a reason why conservatives are against killing babies and are for the killing of evil. Babies haven't done anything.
Yeah.
They haven't done a thing.
She's acting like, oh, well, they want death They want the death penalty for people who have abortion. First off, that's not even, no, I'm not even going to entertain that absolute idiocy. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of, because it's not real. I'm not going to, like, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. I'm not going to sit here and engage in, like, hypothetical or straw man arguments for the sake of, like, giving her some sort of optic, you know, encouragement. There's protections. We've talked about this. Six Ways to Sunday, rape, incest, life of the mother. That's all. Those are all considered protected exclusions. And stop acting like this is about women's health care. This is not health care. It's birth control after conception. Democrats were the ones who opposed over-the-counter birth control. They railed against it, killed it. They did not allow, because it was a Republican measure. Heaven forbid Republicans look like they get a win on giving out over-the-counter birth control. They didn't want that. They wanted to be able to control all of it, so they fought it and they killed it. And now they want to sit here and act like they care. You're the ones who get women in these positions because you fight actual ways to make access to birth control easy and affordable. Democrats oppose easy and affordable access to birth control because they would not allow it to be over the counter. They want it only if you need it. They want to have to drive you to only Planned Parenthood. That's their wish. They would only drive you there. And as you know, Planned Parenthood gets over half a billion dollars, taxpayer dollars. It's like, oh, it's almost $500 million that they get. It's been increasing annually. That's how much of our tax dollars that they get. And it's, they get an infusion of tax dollars. So you support Planned Parenthood and they turn around and they singularly support Democrats. So we're all being forced by our federal government to fund Democrat campaigns for an abortion on demand as birth control provider. And I say that in full control of the facts and the statistics surrounding who goes and gets them. It's on Planned Parenthood's own website. And it's not, they always have you think it's like young, single women, teenage girls. It's not. It's actually older women who are either looking for they don't want to because of work, or they already have kids or they can't afford it. It's those, or sometimes they just don't even give a reason. These are all from Planned Parenthood's own publicly. And they actually have to publish those figures because they get the $500 million in taxpayer money. That's a requirement for how they're structured. They actually have to make public those figures. So it's not me making it up. And rape and incest is less than 1%. So you can't make a law based on the exception. You have to do it on the universal. And they're trying to argue in reverse. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't know what she's talking about here. She's just trying to, you know, she's going out there and she's just toeing the line and trying to pander to women and act like, oh, because because we blocked over-the-counter birth control, now you're in a position where you have to treat abortion as birth control, because that just makes more money for Planned Parenthood, and that's their whole goal. That is their whole goal. How many abortions did they had? Abortions did they have at the DNC yesterday, Kane?
I think on the bus, that abortion bus, they did 10 abortions yesterday.
That's gross. So they had women just go up on the bus and get abortions. It's like a dirty bus. They said, well, this is what their staff is saying. They said that, right. And
10 free abortions is what they said they did.
Yeah. Good heavens. I don't know if did they do any vasectomies?
That I haven't seen. I know that they offered it. I haven't seen anyone that actually went up there.
I haven't seen anything about that. I was looking to see if there's been anything in the past hour. I haven't seen anything about that. I don't know.
Overall lack.
I mean, how can Jasmine Crocker go out and say this stuff when y'all have a literal abortion bus at your event? You pander to women. You put an inflatable IUD up because you think that what, women are just like clowns? You think that this is just like, you know, kid, like a funny, goofy, that's let's make fun of it kind of thing? That's like nasty. Golly. They said they had 10. Goodness. Free abortions. I'm surprised they didn't do it on stage. Hell, at this point, why don't y'all just do it? Why don't y'all just bring the equipment up there, get a woman in stirrups on the stage, and just go ahead and just, you know, they're a step away from doing it. They're doing it right out in front of the damn DNC. Why not just get it up on there on stage? Show how committed you truly are. In fact, why don't you do it yourself, Kamala? Show how committed you truly are. This is disgusting. It's not about women's health. It's about no responsibility and a lack of respect for life. And it makes me angry because it could be avoided, but they fight so hard against making because they want to control it. Because if they can control that, what they call women's health, they can control women. That's their whole point. Their entire point.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A milk jug prank was mistaken for gunfire that led to the evacuation of Colorado Mills Mall in Lakewood, Colorado. Their mall there was evacuated Saturday night because police said a prank involving milk jugs was mistaken for gunfire. It's about 5:40 p.m. No shots were fired. It was a group of juveniles, they said. There was no victims, then nothing. Boys wearing masks were standing up on chairs and slamming jugs of milk to the ground. And that's what people thought was the gunfire, apparently. I don't know. That's what they thought. So, let's see here. The booze-free landscape, sober. The younger generations have, they're not like, I don't know. They don't drink. They don't, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Sober curious, they said. It's popular with younger generations. And they've noticed everything from wine to like, craft beer to all that liquor. They've noticed that the upcoming, you know, like Zoomers and baby millennials, particularly, they are the ones that are not big drinkers, particularly Zoomers, they said. It's kind of interesting. So they're all sort of feeling that. And Eric Adams has to apologize because he confused India with Pakistan during Indian independence celebration in New York City. Yeah, big mix up there with him. It was at the parade in Queens where he mistakenly and repeatedly said Pakistani or Pakistan when it was Indian Independence Day. Okay. I mean, they literally have signs saying Indian community. How do you mess that up? I don't know because I'm not him. I don't know. This is the craziest. I don't know. Italy has imposed beach rules and selfie stoplights because tourism. So this is true. You're not allowed in certain places to take selfies. The selfie influencer thing is so crazy. It would actually like clog up roads because people would get out and they'd want to take pictures on the side of these tiny little roads and cars couldn't get around and everything. So it was nuts. So they've made it to where in certain areas you can actually get cited and get in trouble for clogging up the traffic to do that. They said that Italians go on vacation the month of August. And so they said that 13 million Italians are traveling around. It's called Ferragosto. It's an ancient holiday that Augustus implemented. And so they go around, they travel. And so they have a night swimming ban in Sardinia. They also have trail closures, no selfies in a number of places. And it's not really them. It's just like everybody else. That's kind of a rule that goes all year round. But it's very interesting.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's very serious. China thinks long term. It's very possible that China would be grooming an up-and-coming rising star in the political process to try to have a foothold in our government. I mean, they've done this in the military. We've caught them with spy rings in our universities. This is how China operates. They think long term. And again, I can't say this enough. When you look at Hunter Biden's ties with communist China, it was for money. It looks like Walt's ties may be for ideology. And this is something that we should be concerned about. And we're trying to gather as much information as we can, as quick as we can, to present to the American people.
So that's James Comer. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Hunter Biden may be actually more motivated by capitalism more so than a love of Marxism, as Tim Walz is. That's wild when you think about it. And just, I think, further illustrates the insidious nature of Tim Walz. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And of course, our lovable curmudgeon, equal curmudgeon, Stephen Yates, who's senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, and he's also chair of the China Policy Initiative. Stephen, it's good to have you here. I know that your lovely bride has been under the weather, and we've been praying for her to get well and for you to go. I know it's never fun when, you know, you have under the weather, when anyone's ill or not feeling great. But we've been praying for y'all. I wanted to share, which I'm sure you've already read this, like probably read it 50,000 times more than I did. But I was reading this 1991 article that was published in the Nebraska Alliance Times Herald. And the Washington Free Beacon found this. It's an old school op-ed that was in the paper form. And it was Tim Walz writing about his work with the student exchange program in China. And he was teaching social studies at a Nebraska high school. And in this, he is just championing everything that he witnessed, because he's been there over 30 times, apparently, everything that he's witnessed in China. And he was talking about how the students do so good, and how they get the Chinese government and the place they work for provide housing and 30 pounds of rice per month. Can you believe it? They get, well, he writes literally, they get food and housing. That's what he's celebrating this. And he's, I mean, this is the thing, when he was talking to this newspaper, they were celebrating what he viewed as freebies that the Chinese Communist Party was giving everyone. And wouldn't that be great, essentially, to implement something, that kind of style of government-private relationship in the United States? This is 1991. I mean, this is literally after Tank Man and all of that. And when you listen to him today, he hasn't changed, Stephen. He hasn't changed at all.
No, he jumped right into those currents and has been swimming ever since. And it is something that has happened. There's a particular pathology that happens to people when they go to places like this. And, you know, usually you have this grass is always greener kind of feeling. But when you come home to America, you realize, oh my gosh, this is God's green earth here. I mean, I spent 2 years living in Taiwan, which is not communist, a friendly place. And I loved my experience there. And my mind got wrapped all around things there. But when I came home to the United States of America, I had that urge that many others would have of, you almost want to kiss the earth, and you walk in a carpeted house and you feel like you're walking on pillows, the decadence and the modernity. And all of a sudden you realize your family has an accent and you never heard it before. All of these things. He goes full Red Guard. And it is really close. I mean, he was there in 1989 when the Tiananmen Square massacre happened. And I think the most insidious thing, and I think Congressman Comer got after it, this wasn't about the money motive. It doesn't also appear to have been the honeypot motive that has come to some other members of Congress who shall not be named. This was someone who went and saw something that he thought was grand and allowed the intellectual manipulation to seep in. An intellectual manipulation that fundamentally tells you not to believe what you see with your own eyes or believe what you hear with your own ears. Don't respect, love, and protect your family. Give everything up to the party and the state. And the party and the state will take care of you. Just let go and let them be in charge. And how common do you hear the resonance between what was going on in China in the 1980s and 90s around this time and what happened in Minneapolis and Minnesota with those riots and everything else? I mean, it's basically a one-for-one transference of Cultural Revolution leading to this communist equal give-outs to all kind of way of thinking. And, for decades as a conservative, I would get hit at for calling Democrats or liberals socialist. This is full communist.
Yeah.
That's past socialism. And it's, to me, sort of shocking how it's been completely normalized. And I don't consider him to be a normal and interesting and charismatic guy. I think he's kind of strange when he gets on stage and runs around with his gaping mouth.
Yeah,
there's a word for that this cycle, apparently. Yeah. But this underneath it all is this very, very serious 30 plus year long love affair with a Communist Party's ideology. One that is, I think, the most deadly influence on American lives today. And in no small measure, killed a member of my family. So no thank you, Governor Walz.
We're talking with our good friend, Stephen Yates. You mentioned something that's important as well. Also important, the policies reflected during his administration, his tenure still as governor of Minnesota. because I've seen some, not on television, but just like some of these Harris-Walz surrogates sort of brush this off as, oh, well, that was just his naivete. He was naive about, you know, all. But I don't get that sense. And I think that's really the insidious manner of him. He looks like very innocuous, very benign, but he's not. And that's the thing. You can they try to promote this Midwestern dad, and here's his hat, and oh, he's just a naive Midwestern dad who thought it was, you know, that the government over there was taking care of everyone. But that's not it at all. It is, as you look, what you just said, as you look at his tenure as governor and everything that happened, this is a deliberate, repeated, even when he was in the House, willful choice to embrace this ideology. More so, I think, even than Kamala Harris, honestly.
No, I think naivete is something that you grow out of, or you get mugged by reality somewhere along the way. When you have a disposition like this that is so fond for a system that is so at odds with everything America has been founded upon, that's not naivete. That is a cult-like transference. And to me, that is a serious issue. How can you expect someone like that to stand up to an adversary when you are actually more rabidly critical of foundational principles and rights in the United States than you are of this system that has actually murdered more human beings on this planet than any other political party or ideology in the history of mankind?
Yeah. And he says, well, everybody shares over there. Well, they share mass graves. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
In this paper, he said, and this just blew my mind. When he first went in 1989, and then, of course, he chose to get married on the anniversary of that Tiananmen Square massacre.
Yeah, that's not weird.
Yeah, not weird at all. He told his former colleagues that he, quote, was being treated like a king in China, saying, quote, he received a salary that was double the pay of Chinese teachers. He was given a decorated apartment with a colored TV and had the only air-conditioned residence on campus. And they threw him birthday parties and Christmas parties. He said, quote, no matter how long I live, I'll never be treated that well again, end quote.
All I got to say is, how cheap is your soul when a little bit of flattery, a birthday party, and a nicer apartment than terribly paid teachers in China were getting, and that will bend your entire adult life toward an ideology that is at its core dehumanizing. I also think it separates America or separates human beings from their creator in any form of deity, if that matters at all to you. But I mean, just to me, it's breathtaking that you have this public admission that my entire soul and mind can be sold for a little bit of flattery and a slightly better apartment. Then I mean, literally, these teachers would get like $30 to $50 American dollars a month for compensation, and everything else is paid for by the state. If you wait in line for your health care or you get approval for your second child, maybe. So, you know, he's sort of missing some of the really important pieces of this communist haven he found.
Yeah, I know we started exploring his relationship with China and all of that last week. And, you know, with obviously the intention to, you know, vary, you know, as the weeks to come to explore it further. But the more that I read about this, and again, this is the Free Beacons exclusive on it, the more that I read about this, the more I am convinced of, you know, what Comer and others are alluding to. I mean, this guy is it's like he's a CCP plant. I mean, that sounds harsh to say, but it's very, when you look at what he has said, the actions and his behavior and policy decisions and his votes since, I don't see how anyone could, any jury would convict you of hyperbole on that.
Well, there's a word for it, and we've been told we can't use it anymore, but it's grooming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they used for decades very tried and true socialistic kinds of behaviors, psychological kinds of behaviors, inducements. They treated him like royalty.
Yeah.
A little bit of flattery, a little bit of nice treatment. They gave him privileged trips, probably plenty of things paid for, nice hotels and good things. And what did they get out of it? They got out of it undying love.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this that is grooming. So out of it, are they going to get one of the two most powerful people in America to basically treat the People's Republic of China or the Communist Party as innocent until proven guilty. I say when it comes to harming American jobs, manufacturing, families, and our actual citizens, you're guilty until proven innocent if you come from a hostile regime.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's a real problem. He's been groomed. And, you know, they came after me, too. They came after lots of other people.
They tried to flatter you.
If you start to think for yourself and speak for yourself, they realize quickly this grooming's not going anywhere. This person is, as they said of me, too ignorant of history and not worthy of dialogue. They said that on the day they sent an email congratulating me on becoming a father, literally right after my daughter was born and we adopted her. They sent me a letter saying I was unworthy of dialogue, I was too ignorant of history, and they no longer wanted to have exchange with me in 1998. They sort of had their pops and sizzles after that. But he apparently didn't know enough and never spoke up enough about America or questioning things there. And I think ultimately that is not serving the Chinese people, and it's definitely not serving the American people.
They couldn't bend your knee. They couldn't break your spine either. Goodness, imagine that. Stephen Yates, we always appreciate you, my friend. Our best to Michelle. We're praying for you guys. And let us know if you need anything. We love you. God bless you.
Take care, Dana.
Of course, you too.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
How you were prepping for a debate with Tim Walz, who has described himself as a bad debater. Who's helping you, and how are you prepping?
Well, I found a good friend from back home who embellishes and lies a lot, and I'm having him stand in for Tim Walz. That's what we're doing during our debate.
I'd like to know.
He also apparently was at a deli in Kenosha, and he was like, do you have any food that y'all don't like? Because we can take it to the and feed it to the journalists on the plane, is what he said. Oh, my gosh.
I like Snarky Vance.
Yeah, Snarky Vance is funny. He's like a more disciplined Trump.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Trump just stayed on message and then every now and then let some snark fly? I'm just saying, you know. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. By the way, speaking of Trump, where's this at? I wanted to pull this up. There apparently was, I'll get this up, and I had an update of this. I didn't have this particular link, but I'll make sure I put this in that, in your prep so you can get it. But there's new video that is making everybody question the timeline on that attempted assassination of the former president, because there's video showing this killer walking around the rally 2 hours before. So there are a lot of people questioning the timeline of things. I mean, they know that he was shot at 6:11 p.m. and it was 8 rounds, and it was, you know, they know that. But there was a guy who owns, he's a shop owner, and he was selling political hats like on near the rally. And he just inadvertently, because he had a camera, he just inadvertently filmed this guy just like strolling right past the booth at like 4:30. And that was the earliest known at the time recording of him. And this was exactly, so the timestamp on his film footage was 4:26 p.m. This was exactly the same time that a local police sniper texted his colleagues to say he had seen a guy, which they thought was this dude sitting at a picnic table nearby. I'm going to put this piece, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I'm going to have this link in your radio prep so that you'll have that if you subscribe over at Substack, chapter and verse. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, this one is going to be Jamie Raskin. Apparently at the DNC convention last night, he was reading off the teleprompter, and it seemed like it was going to be a really poignant, intelligent thing, and then the teleprompter broke, and he was standing there looking like a moron. Look at this.
Someone should have told Donald Trump that the president's job under Article 2 of the Constitution.
Uh-huh. What about it? What about that?
Someone should have told Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. His teleprompter went kaput.
He wanted to say someone needs to fix.
I love that for you, Raskin. I love it for you. All right. That does it for us tonight, folks. Make sure you go find us over at Substack and subscribe, chapter and verse. And Facebook, and YouTube. Like and subscribe. I am going to be back with you behind the mic on Thursday. I'm moving a kid into college tomorrow, so I will be back with you behind the mic on Thursday. God bless.